Good evening. My name is Dmitry Gutov. I'll show several of my photo projects, and I would like to start with this picture. I made it in the 1999. Those years, my motto was, the time has come to say farewell to the mousy scrambling of reflection. So I tried to work as simple as possible, and you see it's a very simple idea to print the dog that is pissing on the flag. But I have to say that it was one of the most difficult of my work, because when I decided to do it, I couldn't imagine how difficult it would be, because my idea was to use to make pictures of stray dogs, not pets, and I followed them for hours, then for days. At last, it take 2 months to grab the moment, because you see these dogs all day, all day long. They can do it whenever they want. So it was impossible to catch this moment. You see, and at last and they usually do it so quickly, you absolutely have no time to get off your camera. So at last I did this picture 2 months later and printed it on the flag. You see, I'm very interested in the creatures that are on the margins of existence. For example, like stray dogs or Russian pensioners. This is my project, The Flag, and I will show another. My project that I made in 1997, in the Russian town of Urupinsk. Urupinsk is synonymous with Russian provinces. Everybody in Russia knows this name, Urupinsk, and everybody are sure that this town doesn't exist, because it's like myth. And but it exists, and I was there, and found there many interesting places. For example, this is very popular cafe in Urupinsk, and it called Cherry Whirlpool. And this guy is the owner of this cafe. He is the cook and waiter, all in one. And around this cafe, a lot of children like that one, they're waiting their parents from cafe. And you see, when all my friends said that it's a very bad idea to show this project, Urupinsk project, in Tate Modern, because it looks like National Geographic and has nothing in common with contemporary art. I absolutely agree. But it was my idea to do the works in the style of National Geographic in this town. My favorite dogs, of course, in the market. And I was on the biggest sunflower oil factory in Russia. And it was mountains of sunflower seeds, and on these mountains, thousands of pigeons. I've never seen such big pigeons in my life, like eagles. And they absolutely had no desire to fly. So I threw something at them and then made they fled so slowly, you know. It was like Hitchcock, but in slow motion. I had very important letter with me when I went there from deputy of Russian parliament, and that I am very, very important Russian photographer. And I've got invitation from mayor of this city and from the most the richest people of this city. So I have had possibility to make pictures of these richest people in Russia from the distance of several centimeters, because they were absolutely sure that I'm, in fact, very important Russian photographer. And this guy, Sasha from Urupinsk, owner of several factories, plants, and this is his left hand. I think the price of this watch is the same, like, I think, entire city's annual income. And this is, and this is his right hand. See the image of wild Russian capitalism of the end of the 90s. And I tried to make his portraits, but he was very, very shy and said, I'm not photogenic. I usually don't look good on pictures, but I tried my best. He says, Sash Probus, he was very kind to me and said that if you've got any problems, just say you are here with Sasha from Urupinsk. And I used this magic phrase several times. I have to say it works. And another my project, as I, another theme that I'm very interested in, these imagines of the existence and human faces. And in the middle of the 90s, we get a lot of beggars on Moscow streets, and then government decided to get rid of them. And only in one station, in Moscow metro, they gave permission for blind singers to sing. And I spent a lot of time there listening to them and made a project about blind musicians and blind singers in one Moscow metro station in the center of the city, Площадь Нагина. And then I printed these faces with very, very big size, more than 2 meters. And for me, all each of them was like Homer. And see, with all of them were full of dignity. And when I made the exhibition in one gallery, I recorded each concert, 1 hour from each of these musicians, so it was a lot of sounds. I can't deny myself the pleasure to show another project, vice versa, with the faces, but faces of the people in power from the government. I have to say that in the end of the 90s, my love for our government and for these people was at high point. And so I started to see different political programs on our TV, and then I recorded it and I started to watch it in slow motion, and I tried to capture the moment when these politicians and TV hosts was at their ugliest. But my wife, who was watching what I was doing, said that it's not a good idea. You have to find, to grasp the moment when they're more beautiful, when they will look like human beings. So, and I tried my best, and this is the result. This, and I had very big TV, very, very old, very bad TV. And I've got the same TV now, and you see when I printed it in very, very big size, it was like that. This is natural size. But I show all faces. This, for example, another deputy of our parliament, the leader of the party Fatherland. And this is another guy, another this. This is some guy from FSB, no, it's former KGB, our new secret police. And you see, this is my self-portrait among them. I will show all of them. On this exhibition, it was like, you see, like a kind of pointillism because I've got so bad TV. And I simply make pictures from the screen. Like that. Nothing changed. All of them now on TV. Maybe two of them disappeared. I don't know where. Absolutely the same faces now. This is the leader of our right opposition. And at last, I decided to put among them the photo of my parents. My parents are not peasants. They are classical Moscow intelligentsia. And I explained them the idea, and we went to the countryside, and they made such faces. I almost died laughing. And then I decided to work with my parents, like with actors. And I will show several of projects that I made with my parents. When they were retired, something like actor ability appeared in them. For example, this project the Revolution Opera. So we went to the forest and we tried to make something like Soviet movie or a Chinese movie or North Korean movie or 50s, like partisans in the forest, they're dreaming about best future. They're near the fire. They're singing revolutionary songs. It's another project with my parents. I found very interesting book, something like exercise book for KGB, how to kill people. The best hand-to-hand combat technique. And ask my parents to show how it works. So it's, you see? I think now they can kill anybody. See? Like this picture. My mother is an engineer. My father is a teacher of physics. But you see, as they know me many years, so they helped me from my childhood. And this is not my work. It's Chardin, soap bubbles. And it was another idea to make homage for Chardin with my parents, to make the serious soap bubbles, like amazement of the enigma of nature, beauty of nature. See? The biggest soap bubble in the spring. And this picture is one picture from my project, Russian Forest. Like amazement of the depths of human mind that managed to invent such difficult game like chess. In deep, deep winter, not far from my country house. It's absolutely another project. I made it in 1998. I very rarely work as a reporter or as a journalist. It's only one exception. When my friends, Moscow artists, decided to celebrate 30 years of French Revolution of 1968, and they decided to build a barricade in the center of Moscow and to stop traffic. And they used for this barricade mostly pieces of art, like painting. And some they brought some things from the nearest construction site, like this one with inscription "Danger Zone." Yes, it was very interesting because all Moscow or Russian community, all journalists knew about this event 3 weeks before. But our FSB, our secret police and militia, had no idea about it. And first of them, you see, they made this barricade 5 minutes from Kremlin. And first militiamen came on the place only 1 hour later, after they did it. And and all journalists were bored to death. They're waiting for something, but nothing happened. The only two guys worked like madmen, these two guys, of course, from FSB. This guy with the face of Sphinx had very, very interesting text like that. I need this guy on the right, he's very active. I need this guy on the left, he's very active. Now this guy, so all journalists were bored, only two of them was fascinating of this event. And when I started to make previous picture, another guy with plain clothes came to me and said that if I didn't put away my camera immediately, I would ruin my life. Without military form, I don't know. And so I absolutely had no desire to put out my camera, so I simply made this portrait of this guy. It was a very interesting time. It was the epoch of the so-called democracy. So police couldn't figure out what to do. And they're simply waiting. And clever artist wrote all his demands, all his inscriptions in French language. So it was absolutely impossible to understand what they wanted. They started to find interpreter. Interpreter came in 40 minutes and said, I can't help because I don't know this language. It's not English. They started to find another interpreter. When they came, said, I can't help you because it's absolutely absurd. It's impossible to translate. It was some absurd slogans of French Revolution of 1968. At last, left intellectuals of Moscow started to debate with police, and these debates grow up to fighting, of course. And at last, this barricade was destroyed, of course. Now, the event like this one, absolutely impossible to imagine, because the FSB and police will be on the place before you will start to think to do something. This is the middle of 90s in Russia. And I would like to show one other my project. This work I made in 1992. The title is Spike the Ball, like memory of sport events of Soviet epoch. The ball is waiting. Is waiting that maybe players will come back and finish the game, but nobody would like to finish the game. So I invited my parents to finish the game, but not volleyball, football. And I would like to show, maybe to finish my small lecture with this project that I like. My parents are playing football in the Moscow suburb without audience, without cameras, without rules, without anything. They're simply fighting for the ball. I think, so slowly, this is one of the best work of with their artistic ability as actors, see? Mm-hmm. That one. To say truth, I'm not a photographer at all. I don't know why they invited me, because I'm usually work with installations or paintings. But several times in my life, I decided to make real photo projects like that one. See? They were fighting desperately. No, I've got another 1 minute, so I'll show my last project that I made this year. The title is Thor. Thor, you know this word, it's it means very bad weather in the spring, and for Soviet culture it's very important because it is the epoch of Khrushchev, the epoch of de-Stalinization. And we've got very famous paintings of 19th century in Moscow, in the Tretiakov Gallery. There was a Vasiliev, this painting, Thor. And I made like homage to this painting. It's my self-portrait. Thor in this spring, 2006. That's all, thank you for kind attention.
So, I mean, after this fascinating presentation of absolutely different, four absolutely different positions, I think we can start our discussion. I,